You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Bearing the Blue Shirts. I'm Tom Ertz Jr., and me and Mike have been talking a little bit before we started recording, so I'm not going to say, how are you doing, Mike? I'm just going to say, Mike, say hello.
Tornado Watch 2021, New Jersey. Got a tornado warning today, Tom. I'm doing fine. You know, sometimes life will kick you in the teeth, and all you can do is, I guess, spit out your teeth, hope you can find them on the ice, and, you know, you give them to the athletic trainer, and you hope he's wearing his little medical glove, and he puts them in a little Ziploc bag. It's always amazing to me the numerous jobs, like, the guys on the bench have, the equipment manager and the athletic trainer, like, all the little things they have to be ready for. That's why I still think to this day a fun, dumb article I want to do. Maybe I'll pitch this one to Shayna. Is something she could pursue is like everything that Jim Ramsey has behind the bench in that little shoe caddy. Like, is it bubble gum, smelling salts? You gotta have tape, Tom. You need tape. Because you gotta, in case someone scores their first goal or something. Gotta have everything. Anyway, how the hell are you, Tom? It's been a day for me. How are you doing?
Oh, man, just fine and dandy. And yeah, equipment managers and medical staff, they certainly have a lot of things. My brother, he's the equipment manager for his college hockey team, D3 at Norwich. And
I didn't know that. Maybe he told me that and I forgot. Yeah. I'm a bad person.
It's all right. I mean, it's how many things have happened in the last, you know, year and a half.
How much of it is snacks and how much of it is like pertinent things? Maybe we should have your brother.
So it's on. A little. I don't know about that. We'll see. I'll have to think about this.
My brother's been a guest on the podcast before, and look at you just slamming the goddamn door on your brother.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've talked about my brother on this podcast before, but yeah, so. It's funny. It's a combination of things. I'm trying to remember who it was. I don't know what class they were, like freshman, sophomore, whatever. But and this might have even been as far back as high school. But my brother told me this story about a backup goalie and how they were playing a game. Now that I say this, I think it was high school. So the way it goes is that they're getting shelled. It's like a really bad game. And the coach goes to the backup goalie, you know what? Just finish this game. Let's, you know, get, you know, so-and-so out of there. And, you know, he hops over the boards. And the minute he does that, a bunch of Skittles drop onto the ice. Because he had his goalie glove on, but he was using the goalie glove to hold on to Skittles, and it was eating them out of the glove. Yeah, so, and like,
you hate to see it.
This just happens, and it's like, what the fuck is going on? But yeah, my brother's had a lot of fun doing that. Like, you know, someone has a skate issue, having to, you know, change the steel or, you know, fix a rivet or, you know, someone's stick is breaks and getting new ones and all that fun stuff. I mean, he says it keeps him busy and, you know, he's liked it when he's done it. Obviously, because of the pandemic, there really hasn't been that much hockey, so he's looking forward to next year, which would be his senior year. And as I say that, I just go, wow, that feels weird to me as someone who feels like I graduated college not too long ago. But you know, it's 2021 and I graduated in 2014, and that feels like a decade ago, even though it's not.
You're still a
Because I
baby compared to
remember,
me.
because I think
You're
of like the Rangers run to the Stanley Cup final and everything associated with that. So I associate those games and those times with certain college memories. Like I wrote about it when we did the 30 Days of Hank, like the game after Marty Sanilei's mother died, and they had a must-win game versus Pittsburgh, and it was the same day as the tradition was, the last day of classes. It was called the Bridge Street Run. It's pretty much a bar crawl in Oswego, and finally getting to the last stop, which was the place was called the Shed, which no longer exists, which really sucks. But just watching the game, being really drunk and being like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. So yeah, but I don't even know where I was going. Like, we're all over the place to start, which is kind of fine because the Rangers were all over the place last night against the New York Islanders. See, I found a way to
Look
transition.
at that, Tom. Sticks the landing and everything. Yeah, so a lot of people are pretty hyped up. The Rangers kicked the crap out of the Devils, more or less. I mean, they won a bunch of games against the Devils, but when you watch those games closely, particularly how they ended, the Rangers that showed up in the third period against the Devils were a team where it's like, this team has playoff aspirations? Because, remember, friends, the Devils are like the second worst team in the division, and they're only a little bit better than Buffalo. And this is also the Devils that just traded away, two of their core players, in Zajac and Palmieri. So, is it much of an achievement, Tom, to beat them like 4 games in a row? And people are like, oh yeah, own the Devils, made history, in terms of a team beating a team 4 times in a row, and it's nice that Igor gets a couple of shutouts, and then oh yeah, you're feeling good, and then also feels good. Hey, the kids are picking up points. Kravy scores his first goal after the first one was taken away, which was just rude, and Lindy Ruff is rude for doing it, and I hope he knows that. Everything's looking good, Tom, and then what happens? They play the Islanders. What happens? Maybe this isn't a playoff team. Maybe they were just a team playing a really crappy team.
So I would say the perfect analogy for that series against the Devils, I think of it, and this just came to me right now. It's kind of like when you play laser tag, and when you're playing laser tag, right, you're running around, you're shooting off your blaster, you're hearing all the sounds, you're having a lot of fun in the moment, and like you think it's like one of the coolest things ever, and like you think you're doing pretty fucking awesome. It's like, oh man, I'm really killing it. And then you get to the end, right? And like, at least the laser tag place by me, like it has an actual score sheet where it's like, okay,
Yeah, it gives you the score
and you're,
after the fact. Yeah.
and it shows, okay, you took so many shots. Here's how many shots hit. Here's how many shots missed, and all of these different things.
Yeah.
And you go, oh wow. This is not exactly how I thought it was at all. And that's kind of what the Rangers were, because while yes, they swept the Devils, in that span, their Corsi 4 percentage, 45.61, which is not
It's not
good.
good. Not good.
Yeah, the shots for, they pretty much split it even, so 50, 0.56.
I think in a couple games,
Goals
the
for.
Devils. Yeah, what was the expected goals for? It was bad, right?
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah, none of the stats were good. Yeah.
No, 46.44, which is a far cry from the actual goals of 71.43. So it was very much, and you pointed out, like Igor had two shutouts.
That's fun.
Stop me if you've heard this one before. A Ranger goaltender has exceptional performance that kind of covers up for the shortcomings of their team.
I've heard it before. Also, one of those shutouts, he only had to make 16 saves. I'm not here to take anything away from Igor, but, you know,
16 it was like saves. A Marty Brodeur shutout.
Oh, wow, Tom. Just a needless attack on Marty Brodeur. I honestly don't dislike it at all. No, but I think it's... the laser tag analogy is pretty good to me because it's like, yeah, hey, at the end of the day, we got the W, Tom. We got the W. Feel good. A couple players look good. There was a little period in there. Don't really know what was going on. And you kind of... you look at the numbers, it's like, well, did the Rangers just stop caring in some of these games? Or is it the fact that maybe it was this story that is so often this is what it boils down to for the Rangers is the battle of quantity versus quality chances, and how the Rangers are not really good at quantity scoring chances, but they're very good at generating a low amount of high quality chances and executing. It's kind of their bread and butter. And a lot of it, I'm sure, has to, in the Panarin tenure, has to do with being able to execute, and you have, you know, when that brief window opens and you have someone like a Mika Zibanejad or someone like a Panarin, you can really capitalize with creative players like your Buchneviches and Panarins, et cetera, et cetera. And we come away from this series being like, yeah, kick the shit out of the Devils. And then to play the way they did against the Islanders, you're like, okay, maybe this whole playoff thing is a little out of reach. Like, I'm not trying to be dramatic or poke a hole in anyone's sail, but this is the same team it was before it swept the Devils. It just, they looked really good against a very bad hockey team, and that's not surprising to me. What I did like out of that series is like, oh yeah, the kids are scoring. Me likes that. It's fun to see the kids score. It was fun to see Laff score another goal, and it was really fun to see Igor finally get that shutout, and, you know, I would start to say it was fun to see Igor get into a bit of a rhythm, but then he got absolutely shelled playing the Islanders. So, it was, it's been an interesting week since the last we talked, Tom. Like, just across the landscape of the NHL with the Canucks and things like, well, some of the things Robin Lehner has said recently, and things going on in Rangerstown. We'll get to some of the other things lately, but yeah, interesting that it seems like people are wrapping their heads around, oh, I guess this isn't a playoff team. That's still fun. It's the process that's fun, and I think that's the thing we need to embrace as folks who are invested in this, and you and I who cover it, is yeah, it's, there are going to be bumps in the goddamn road, but you know what, the road is still fun. And watching the kids develop and kind of seize these opportunities is fun. And I wish we'd see more, but I also, you know, I'm not going to pretend that we need to take ice time away from the top players, which is something we've gone over a bunch, so we don't need to go over it again. You want something to say, Tom?
Yeah, so you're bringing up the kids. Why don't you...
The kids!
Like... Yeah, why don't you talk a little bit, like, I know you said you've been paying attention to Hartford. You know, anything that's kind of stood out to you recently of note for our loyal listeners?
Well, it's fun that the Hartford Wolfpack have the best power play in the AHL, Tom. It's a blistering 29.9%. But then again, they're only playing two teams. In Providence and Bridgeport. But the thing that stood out the most for Hartford is they had all this momentum and they actually got shut out. So a lot of guys who had point streaks and scoring streaks, like Tarmo had a point streak, Tim Genninger had a point streak, and Morgan Barron had a really impressive stretch where I think he had 17 points in 17 games. So him not getting a point here was like a streak getting snapped, and it's like, ah, man, you know, it's fun watching... like, guys kind of emerge and carve out roles for themselves, and now, you know, you see these guys building streaks. The one I was most fascinated with is Ty Ronning, who had a ridiculous scoring streak. And mind you, this is a guy who spent the last two seasons split between the ECHL and the AHL with the Maine Mariners. Like, he couldn't stay in the Hartford lineup. And he had, like, he had this unbelievable stretch of, like, 14 points in 11 games. He was in a lot of primary points, and he was looking really good and finding ways to contribute. And then the Rangers hit a snag, and, you know, Bridgeport beat them. I think it was 4-0. And then all this nice momentum goes bye-bye. But the other part of that is Adam Huska had a rough game, you know, by his standards. And Huska's, and I think right now it's Tyler Wall and Huska have been, Huska's caught up to Tyler Wall in terms of overall minutes, but it was rare to see Huska have a game as rough as this past one against Bridgeport. And like I said, it was also a bummer to see the all the scoring streaks come to an end. But it's fun to see, particularly, like, if you're watching the Wolfpack, it's really, really fun to watch Barron and Rayonainen and think about, you know, how they fit into the Rangers' picture, like, in both of their cases as depth guys. But, you know, when the Rangers signed Zach Jones, there was a lot of talk about, like, maybe Tarmo is a guy that's just a guy you can package and trade, or a guy you can deem as expendable. Because he's just a little further down the line in terms of his age. And frankly, you know, the pipeline for D in the Ranger system is pretty deep. But all this is extra interesting, Tom, because there have been a lot of ELCs for the Rangers. I think since March 3rd is when Schneider signed his ELC. And since then, we've had a total of 5. But we've also had 2 guys in Hartford who got extended, which is Mason Geertsen, who was on an AHL-only contract, got his pro contract, a two-way deal, and he's also extended into next year. He's a big, hulking defenseman. You know, I don't think size is important in the NHL level, but there seems to be the idea that size matters in the AHL game, which is something we could get into in a later show. The difference in minor hockey, especially in the AHL, is pretty interesting. But Geertsen got extended, and also Johnny Brodzinski got extended, which is interesting because he is one of the veteran guys. He's 28, and he signed for, I think, 25 more K, again, a two-way deal. But he is clearly a guy they want to be part of the solution in Hartford. And then after Schneider, Tom, in terms of ELCs, we have Hunter Skinner, we have Zach Jones, which I mentioned, we have Will Coyle, I think it is, right? Coyle? And then you have Carl Henriksen. So, a lot, and Carl Henriksen, 20, and a former second-round pick. A couple former second-round picks, obviously Skinner and Jones, and all of a sudden, Rangers have handed out a bunch of ELCs, and we kind of have a lot of guys who are going to be in Hartford next year, just signed under contract. So, a little bit of interesting stuff going on in Hartford.
Yeah, I look at it from the perspective of the Rangers are, it's seemingly they're trying to take care of a lot of business. And I know the one who is outstanding, Vince Bercagliano had a story, I think it was today, on Nils Lundqvist, and how it was just a follow-up of how, like, post-deadline, I know Jeff Gorton had said that they're very happy what they've seen from Nils, and they think very highly of him, and the goal is for him to be part of the organization, you know, for 2021-22. And obviously that will add things to the mix. But you look at, and I'm looking at it on Cap Friendly, and so you look at all these players who are either in Hartford or, you know, just not a part of you know, the Rangers roster. So they're defined as non-roster forwards. So you have Morgan Barron, 22. Justin Richards, 23. Patrick Kotarenko, 22. Austin Rushoff, 23. Ronning, 23. Carl Henriksen, I think there's been some reports that he might still be in the SHL next year.
Yeah, a little bit of confusion about Henriksen, whether or not his Frölunda has control over him, if the Rangers want him in Hartford, or whether or not Frölunda can say, tough titties, you're going to stay here unless you're in the NHL. But he's been the guy who hasn't been terribly productive, but there's also people I know who think he hasn't gotten a fair shake under Frölunda's bench boss. So he's an interesting guy to look at because, one, he's a center prospect, and obviously the Rangers' depth down the middle and what they're doing at the center ice position is under a lot of scrutiny and something that matters a lot over the next couple of years. And when a guy's a second-round pick, you want him to pan out. But two, also, like, it's interesting with Henriksen, right? We have to see what happens.
Yeah, I think that, besides the how the defensive logjam is going to sort out, is what I look most forward to learning this summer.
Oh, I wanted to say quickly, I knew I was saying it wrong, so I scrambled to find it. I found an old pronunciation guide. It's Will Cooley. Cooley. Not Will Coyle. It's one of those names where it's spelled in a way where you think maybe it's Coyle, but it's Cooley. But again, he was a recent early round pick for the Rangers, and a guy who, you know, is this the Rangers putting things in place to have more of their kids in, you know, kind of like in closer inspection in Hartford and developing them there? I don't know. But the other part of this is, frankly, the Rangers haven't had this many draft picks in a while, Tom. This is kind of what happens when you draft all these, you have all these draft picks and you have all these prospects that you have the rights to. They got to play somewhere. And for the Rangers, that means having them in Hartford. So it'll be interesting to see how different the Wolfpack might look next year.
I find it interesting because obviously you're going to have the expansion draft and, you know, everything that goes along with that, any, you know, side deals that happen or any trades they make with other teams that for protection purposes, like if a team has, you know, a defenseman that they can't protect and it's advantageous to the Rangers and, you know, they have a forward they can't protect, it's advantageous to that team. But I look at it as, I hope that Brett Howden is not someone who's a part of the long-term future of this team. You have no idea, like Kevin Rooney or Blackwell. So to have this stable of young forwards that you can develop and bring along and learn the system to promote upward, where Barron, for the right now, is the most likely candidate to make that transition from the AHL to the NHL next season. But then that opens up a role in Hartford. So say Barron goes up, then maybe, you know, Patrick Kodorenko gets a little more of a look in Hartford, and then, you know, his spot is filled by someone else, and so on and so forth. I know with Cooley, like, he's been described as almost like, and it's hard because everyone, like, picks, you know, just random or, you know, not the greatest comparisons, but almost like in the mold of a Tom Wilson, which, like, obviously there is value in that type of power forward. Now, hopefully not the negative aspects of Tom Wilson's game and, you know, injuring players and things of that nature.
Well, he did have 20 penalty minutes in one game this season in Hartford, so I think there is a bit of nasty in him. I think he got, oh yeah, he got a major for interference, plus a fighting major, and then a game misconduct, all in the same, all for doing the same thing. But other than that, he only has, I think, a couple of minors. So, but he is a big kid. He's 6'3". So, but like you said, he's supposed to be that big guy that has sweet hands, right? Like, that's supposed to be his whole thing, is that Tom Wilson, like, oh yeah, Tom Wilson, he's a freight train, but he also has the hands to finish. And, but, you know, in 13 games in Hartford, Cooley has 2 goals and 3 assists and the 26 penalty minutes. But like I said, 20 of them were in one game, so it's only really the 3 minors. So I don't know how much sandpaper is to his game, and unfortunately the AHL doesn't have data on hits and real-time stats, and not a lot of data at all, actually, which is why I often recommend to people Dave McPherson's site, which is pick224.com for AHL stats.
Well, speaking of wingers, and in this case, we do have stats for to transition, and it's still speaking of one of the kids. Vitali Kravtsov has now played in 10 games for the Rangers. He's logged 115, just about 116 minutes, 5-on-5, according to Evolving Hockey. I'd say, like, fair to say that the majority of his time has been on the fourth line, even though that's not what was supposed to happen. But again, you know, David Quinn says things that he doesn't always mean, and he doesn't always, you know, back up what he says he's going to do, but that's neither here nor
David
there.
David Quinn lies to children, is what our takeaway here is.
But the numbers are good. Goals for percentage, 57-28. Corsi for 51. Percent expected goals 49.46. I really can't complain, and like the expected goals against per 60 is 2.42, which is, it could be a lot worse, like especially considering you're on the fourth line and you are, he's not really surrounded by the best talent, and he's often getting shifts with the Rangers bottom pair, which has been a nightmare and an adventure all at the same time. So, like, I'm very impressed with Kravtsov, and I think that we kind of expected some of what he's done in the sense of how he's played, where he will hold on to the puck, he'll use his frame, he'll pivot, he'll go one end to the other in along the boards and look to make plays. He's really smart. Like, he realizes what he's dealing with. And at times, like, I don't want to make, like, I've felt like joking, like, it's almost like he feels he's backed with Tractor, where he'll make a play and someone can't finish. Like, the other night, you know, Howden has a golden opportunity, but, you know, he, you know, couldn't quite get it off, which Kravtsov is very familiar with. But I'm very thrilled with that, and my hope is that while they're not mathematically eliminated, the odds are even longer based on how the games in hand work and based on the teams they need to lose, who they're playing. Give him a promotion. I feel like at this point, you don't need to play Blackwell as much. You can move Kako up. You can move Kravtsov up. You can move Blackwell down. You can mix and match. I'm really pleased with what I've seen from young Vitali.
No one loves the Colin Blackwell story more than me. But Colin Blackwell really doesn't need to be in the top six anymore. like it was fun, and it's still fun, and it's even more fun that like he's here for another year. And hey, I love Colin Blackwell as my 13th forwarder on the fourth line. But I don't know what the Rangers' obsession is with role players. Like Quickie last year with let's get him up there. But I wanted to comment on Kravtsov really quickly before we change topics, Tom, because the underlying numbers on him are really interesting, and I like to look at things like when a guy is adjusting to the NHL game and you're a forward or like a puck-moving defenseman, one of the things I normally like to look at a lot is how often you're getting hit. And Kravtsov has been, you know, since he's been with the Rangers, he has one of the highest hits taken per 60 on the team. The only regular Rangers forward who takes more hits than him is Brett Howden, which also tells you something about how Brett Howden has adjusted. But it's interesting to me that Kravtsov has taken those hits, but it also tells us that he has the puck, right? And the other thing that I really think is interesting, he's really good at takeaways. Which is a stat that obviously is subjective to different score trackers and stuff, but all the other underlying numbers and all the things you look at, the way he plays, the way he creates things, like you described him as smart, and that's the first word I use for Kravtsov. It's like, he's really smart, really slippery, really knows how to make things happen, and in a weird way, it's fascinating that he had to do so much of the heavy lifting in Tractor, because you can tell he's used to like making the whole cake and then like letting someone else put the frosting on it, you know what I mean, like the icing on it, just whoever has to put the cherry on top, he'll get everything else to them, because he has the skill to make that happen. It's really fun to watch.
Right. And like, it's hard at times, and I use smart as a describer, because I feel like when you are a young player, like what we hear from coaches or coach speak, it's like, oh, we want like a player who knows the game, understands situation, understands like awareness in each zone. And like, I think you hear like, it's more so players coming over from Europe, even though, like, as people have pointed out, the KHL over the last couple of years, you know, more and more of their rinks are not the big international size, but, you know, moving more towards, you know, the NHL size. And with Krassoff coming over and him being in an offensive-minded role where he's the one driving the bus for Tractor, coming over to the Rangers, he's been expected to do different things. Now, obviously, he doesn't want to be in a fourth-line role. Like, obviously, part of the reason he left in the first place is that he was kind of confused because he felt that he was doing the right things. He was contributing, and he ultimately didn't make the team, and, you know, the rest is history. So he's been put in a situation that really isn't beneficial to him, but he's trying to make the most of it. He's trying to take advantage of it as best as he can. So he'll make a play in the defensive zone, which leads to his first career NHL goal, where he's on the forecheck and he forces an outlet. Yeah. And then he's able to know, okay, because of this, who's around me, I can swing to this side and I'm going to be wide open. And it was a really smart play, because I think that oftentimes you see on a forecheck, and I don't remember the situation of like if it was the beginning of the shift, end of a shift, you'll make that initial play disrupting someone trying to make an outlet, and then by virtue of, you know, you're moving back up the ice, a team might want to change, but he doesn't do that. He stays with the play, swings over, and then Brett Howden makes a great pass, and he just buries it. So those little things, and you see it more sometimes, and I find myself whenever he's on the ice, I'm maybe just focusing on what he's doing, and I'm a little blind to everything else going on. And I mentioned it, I think it was last week, when he's working along the boards, and it makes sense what you said in terms of taking hits. Like, gets hit, but he doesn't fall down. He just keeps moving. He keeps moving. He does the thing where, like, Kako does it as well, as I'm going to go left. Oh, that's blocked off. I'm going to go right, reverse. And I think you want to see this for a prospect that is on the older side, relatively speaking. But again, like, we saw an adjustment period when Pavel Buchnevich came over. We've seen, you know, adjustment periods with other prospects. So Kratsov so far, really fun to watch. Now I just want him to get some more ice time. And I think there's really no reason at this point to not give him that ice time.
Speaking of ice time, I think it's time for an ad break, Tom.
We'll be right back. Just like that, we're back from an ad break. I don't know where I want to go next, because it's kind of like, I find myself whenever I'm thinking about when we're going to do a show, like, obviously we're going to talk about things that just happened, games played, but like, I feel like we're kind of...
How do you feel, Tom?
Oh, how do I feel? How much time do you have? Yeah, it's frustrating, because again, like, I get that he said today after practice that Zach Jones is going to be a candidate to play against Philadelphia. But he's asked after the game about has he given any thought to changing things up? You know, pointing out, I think it was Molly Walker that asked, but like pointing out that Anthony Betteto had been on the ice in the last two games for, I think it was like 4 or 5 goals. And he's like, it's not something I've really given thought to. We're going to have to think about it. And that's like, you know, paraphrasing, but that was like the general vibe. And again, it's fresh after a loss. I get that you're not going to really maybe have something prepared to say at that moment. But I don't think that's like a particularly hard decision to make. Like, man, we've been bleeding chances and we've been like, you know, treading water and our it's clear that we have a weak link on our defense. Oh wow, like we didn't even mention Jacob Trouba left the game last night and is day to day. And it's weird because it looked like and when I rewatched you know what Shayna clipped, it looked like something with his ankle, but they're saying it was an upper body injury. Yeah, so I don't know exactly what's going on there. And the loss of Truba, and he's had a really good season. I know he got a lot of grief for how he played last year, and you're rightfully so. And I think you've seen a lot of improvements this year under Jacques Martin and, you know, penalty kill defense overall. But when you lose someone like that, and you have situations where Adam Fox takes a penalty or Ryan Lindgren takes a penalty, it shows how exposed this team is. And, you know, Brendan Smith has had an up and down year. I'd say he's competent. You know, he's gonna be what he is. Keandre Miller, he's has some really good nights. He has some nights where he looks like a rookie, but overall, you got to be happy with it. But when you are in a situation where you need to lean a little more on Betteto, or you have to lean a little more on Smith, it shows like it shows that you have some work to do because as good as Fox is and as good as you know Lindgren has been, although like the one thing that we've said is we want to see Lindgren on a pair away from Fox to sort of see how much of his own he can hold. You
Would be
need
good to
more.
know.
And
Yeah.
right. So I get like the whole they don't want to rush Zach Jones in, but you clearly know what limitations you have with Betteto. You clearly know what limitations you have with Lieber Hayek. At the worst case scenario, you put Zach Jones in, he's going to be as bad as Hayek or as bad as Betteto, which you've already admitted as a coach that you're kind of fine with, but you're almost saying, I don't want to take a chance for any upside over that, which I don't understand. Because, like, if I was a coach, and I think I've used this example before, it's very easy to criticize a coach. I get it. I criticize David Quinn a lot. And I think my criticism is at least well reasoned, and I try and say, you know, why I feel away and what I would do differently is instead of just saying, oh, coach sucks, fire David Quinn. But it's a situation where coaches, I feel, have an out if, you know, they're getting criticized like, oh, we're not playing X or Y, we're not giving more ice time. Where if you're a coach, it's like, you know what? I bumped so and so up. We gave them a couple of games. It didn't work out the way I liked. We're going to move them back down and we're going to reevaluate. Then you buy yourself some equity with the fans. Like, you know what? Gave them a shot. It didn't work out. There were some things we liked. The potential is there, but they're just not ready. But instead, we get this nonsense, and I agree that some of it is on the front office as well, whether it's you say Gorton or Davidson, that the team had a good shot of making the playoffs. But you don't want to waste these valuable games that you can evaluate talent because there are a lot of important decisions that have to be made, and You want to at least know, okay, can I count on Filipino? Can I count on Zach Jones? Can I count on so-and-so? And, you know, saying like, you know what? I saw enough to say I'm comfortable with them filling XYZ role. Or, you know what? I'm kind of comfortable trading them. And again, I get it. You don't want to use a small sample size, but it's not really a small sample size. It's your entire sample size of the player from when you drafted them or acquired them. It's like, okay, here's what they were. Here's what they did in this environment. Here's the tendencies they showed in this environment. And you're making an informed decision. And obviously, the Rangers want to upgrade at center. And we don't know if, you know, they address that by using someone like Kraftstoff as a trade chip, or they use someone like Zach Jones as a trade chip, or who knows what they're going to do. But I just don't buy this notion that by playing the kids or, you know, cutting some of the veterans' ice time at 5-on-5, which really doesn't matter because they're still getting top billing at special teams, is like giving up on the season, because you might luck into a situation like, oh, wow, I'm playing Zach Jones and I'm, you know, playing Kraftstoff and I'm playing Kakko more. And because they're good at possessing the puck, they're generating chances. And because they're generating chances, we're scoring goals. I don't think it's mutually exclusive, like development, trying to win. I think you can do them both at the same time. End rant.
I was enjoying the rant. Yeah, you raise a lot of good points, especially like what is the, I'm not sure what, I wonder how much of what Quinn's comments were about, where he's not trying to like drag Potato through the mud, but the other part of it is, like, in the grand scheme of things, I think the Rangers need to find a little more progress that is, I think, tangible, where you can really notice where they recognize what's going on with certain assets. And I think Libor Hájek and Brett Howden are assets that should be underlined in this as important examples. And another example that I think is important to underline is Elias Andersson, who last I heard is doing pretty well in the AHL in the Kings organization, which is awesome to hear, and good for Elias Andersson. But I think it's really important when you have accountability, and I think it's when it comes to defenders, it's like, why do these things happen, Tom, when Libor Hájek or Anthony Betetto's on the ice, and then all these things happen, and then if you have someone like Tarmo Rajanainen, who's just there in Hartford and has been playing like he might be a little too good for the AHL right now, and you know he does a lot of things that would be really valuable to see if he can make the jump to the NHL level. Why don't we get to see him? Wouldn't it be nice? And I don't know. I'm sure part of it might be complicated in, like, maybe a tiny bit by a... Actually, no, it probably wouldn't even be complicated with D'Angelo taking up a spot in the taxi squad, but why would that impact things? I think this is just... It's just unimaginative asset management, and... Like, the reason I bring all this up is when things like this come up, it is a clear path to giving the kids a chance to shine and giving a prospect like a little cup of coffee, rewarding them for doing the right thing or yada yada, whatever the hell you want to say, whatever cliche you want to put in. So do it! So fucking do it! Like, if Potato has a shitty game and Trouba's out, call up the kids and see if there's a kid ready to go. Why wouldn't you do it? Doesn't make sense why you wouldn't do it. Go ahead, Tom.
So I feel like I've touched on this before, and I feel like I've listed examples. So, but like my theory slash like hot take has always been that the Rangers give more. You know, Siri, I don't really appreciate you.
It happened to you this time.
Yeah. So my. You know what it was? I said my hot take slash theory, and it interpreted as, hey, Siri, which I probably, okay, it didn't go off, but I probably shouldn't have said that because that would have triggered it. But my assumption there we go. That's a word that should be fine. Is that they have more leash with players, prospects they've acquired versus ones that they've drafted, developed, in the sense of you look at the Ryan McDonagh trade, right? Which if Nils Lundqvist pans out the way we think he will, that saves that trade big time. But how they've treated Howden, how they've treated Hayek, drastically different. How they've treated Elias Anderson, Filip Hedl. And the only common denominator there is it was players that they drafted or under their control that they could kind of control the narrative a bit because they didn't want to admit, like, maybe we made the wrong move here. Which is, it's weird because...
That is weird. Like, yeah. You would think I haven't thought about it
they would want...
in those terms before, but you're right. That is weird.
Yeah, and the one exception so far, which I don't really get, and maybe it's like Gauthier, where they obviously acquire him from Carolina for Joey Keane, and we've seen tangibly that Gauthier has good instincts. Like, obviously, he's billed as being someone in sort of the mold as Chris Kreider, but fundamentally, he knows where to go. He uses his size. He uses his speed positionally, you know.
He's a big galoot.
Right, and he knows what to do around the net, you know, unlike some other forwards, Brett Howden. But, like, Howden's being played on the wing when he was a center, where Gauthier is a center, but he's not playing. So... It's just this weird thing of I really hope, because we've said it a million times, but this offseason is really crucial as they look to take that next step, because...
Oh, it's a fascinating offseason.
Yeah. If they stutter step between where they are now and next year, like, that can shorten up the timeline. And I would think that the instinct was, like, seeing the talent that they have, seeing how players have progressed... you would want to make the most of it and say, like, you know what? We're a little bit ahead of schedule. We have resources. We have assets. We have cap space. Like, let's fucking go. And if you say, you know, we still think so-and-so can be a value, that would be the wrong path to take, in my opinion, which is why I said, you know, play... Jones, play Gauthier. If you have a spot for Reinen, great. If you find up end up having a spot for Morgan Barron, play him too. But like enough is enough with, you know, players that have had more than enough opportunity to prove themselves, have shown that they're pretty bad. Like, just what are we fucking doing here?
I don't know. And still, there's still a part of me that wonders what would happen if Jack Johnson didn't get hurt, Tom. Right? It'd be interesting to see, you know.
I forgot about him. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to forget about Jack Johnson because everyone was like, why the fuck did they sign Jack Johnson? And then we were all like, yeah, but really, he'll be the seventh defenseman. And then out of camp, it's like, ah, turns out he's not the seventh defenseman. He's in the goddamn lineup. And then... But then, you know, unfortunately for Jack Johnson, he got injured. And then his season got shut down, which has essentially made it so that Libor Hájek had another really big opportunity. And, you know, Libor Hájek unfortunately showed that he really hasn't developed all that much. I mean, it's really interesting watching, like, MSG and, when Valier, you know, offers some analysis on defensive breakdowns and stuff and how often Libor Hájek's name would get mentioned. When you think about, like, the only... I wanted to bring up when you're talking about, like, prospects and how they've been treated, like, the guys they've developed. I think the way they've handled Keandre Miller, I think, is good, just in terms of, like, he's made mistakes, but he's stayed in the lineup, which I think is the right thing to do with Keandre Miller, just because I think it's the right thing to do with most of the kids, especially the kids that most of the time are doing the right things and showing... their potential. I don't think that applies to everyone who's kind of stuck around the lineup, but yeah, it is really interesting though. And you know, the trade deadline is over. It's now a question of whether or not the Rangers can kind of like you know, claw their way into a playoff position. The odds are obviously kind of stacked against them here. And if this injury to Trouba is significant in any way, it would be pretty bad. But, you know, so far, nothing too big in terms of a red flag. But again, who the hell knows what's going to happen? The real story is this offseason and the transition from this season to next season. Because, like you said, there's the timeline. There's these expectations you have. You have the clock ticking on a lot of players in terms of having them for their prime. And you think of Mika Zibanejad. You think of the next contract for Igor Shesterkin. Like, a lot of things need to get figured out within, like, this time next year. It's going to be a very different Rangers team. And hopefully it'll be a much, much, much more competitive Rangers team. But I think that gets there. We get to that much more competitive Rangers team largely by the kids developing. Because, you know, whether or not they make a big move to add that center is a whole can of worms that may or may not ever be opened. That move might never come. But what needs to come, and what will come regardless, is the development of the kids. Like, Kaapo Kakko, Alexi Lafreniere, all the guys that are going to be a part of the solution have to continue to develop. It would be nice if guys like Gauthier get more of an opportunity to try to carve out a role for them, instead of just ending up, you know, you have Colin Blackwell getting all the same time. And like I said, I love the Colin Blackwell story, but the story I like even more than that is the Rangers making a smart trade for a, you know, a promising young forward who could be a part of the solution moving forward. And I wish we got that story a little more often. Anyway, I think that's all we have for this show, right, Tom?
Yeah, I don't really think there was anything else that we wanted to touch upon. You know, obviously, Rangers are going to be playing against Philadelphia. It's a back-to-back set, and it's after that they have two against the Sabres, which theoretically you want to take all four of those games, and you should be able to take all four of those games.
Also, theoretically, if they're a playoff team, shouldn't they try to take at least 3 points off of the Flyers here?
I'd hope.
I'd hope so too, Tom, but I don't know if they're a playoff team.
But yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. As always, we appreciate everyone who supports the show. Very appreciative of our Patreon supporters. Adam Clendenning, Adam Nahoic, Aiden Gaspar, Amriel Kistner, Andres Shikagov, Andy White, Bjarne Osterheim, Captain America, Chris Marco Trigiano, Clark Carroll, Daniel Gizen, Doris from Rico Park, Frank Menino, Jimmy Bussell, Jason Silverman, Jeff Owen, Jermaine Francis, John Predzipelski, John Reppy, Jordan Sassone, Justin Walsh, Kevin Mead, Kushtastic, Kyle Napolitano, Matt Bader, Matthias Olsen, Michael Marcus, Michael Silvers, Nikolai Hoffman, Panarin 2020, Patrick Landholt, Pernille Powerhouse, Sean, Stieg Belbeck, Tolgay Rob, The Tin Man, Tori from Manhattan, and Trevor Kempner. Thank you as always for
thank you so support. Goddamn much. I tell you, I know how tough it is, and I know we do this every once in a while with the Patreon, like the patrons, but like the show doesn't happen without you guys. Again, we've hinted at this a couple times. Not easy right now, trying to make ends meet, covering sports and doing what Tom and I are trying to do as a career. And your support makes a difference. It makes the show possible. Also helps pay rent and buy groceries and things like that, which is also really nice. You know, at first we talked about how patrons would help to going towards like, improving the quality of the show and stuff. And, you know, now it's become more of like, we really should try to do whatever we can to do the podcast because, pandemic, fun. Anyway, we really do appreciate it. We know, you know, we say it, it's sincere every time. I just want to make that clear. So thank you, everybody. I hope everyone is safe. Everyone is well. Everyone's enjoying the hockey. Enjoying watching, you know, Kravtsov look so fun. He's just fun. That you know what, Tom? Smart, also fun. It's fun to see what Kravtsov can do. Wouldn't it be nice if we saw him get more ice time? Why not more ice time? Mike says more ice time.
Yeah, I agree with that. But we'll see what happens. Obviously, try and enjoy the games down the stretch. Be well. Hope everyone's doing well. If you know you getting your COVID
get
shot.
I get my second shot tomorrow. I'm going to drink a lot of water and do windmills with my arms.
Keep it moving,
keep it moving.
But you'll be good.
Yeah. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. Thank you, everybody.
Bye, everyone.